God is good.
God is good.
He's good all the time. All right. Now, Deuteronomy. We're looking at Deuteronomy. Now, let's see if you've learned what Deuteronomy means. Does anyone know what Deuteronomy means? Peggy can do it. The second reading declaring of the law. So 40 years they've traveled, and they're finally ready to be a nation. They have their law. Law is necessary in this world. Law is necessary in this world. Even Christians need to read the law. And that's why chair 5 is up there. It causes you to despair of your pride, and to never rely upon yourself, never have confidence in yourself. How many here have confidence in themselves? That's a sin. How many have pride? That's a sin. Just thought I'd tell you that. Now, you need the law right now because of your soul and because of the sin that's still in your walk. So your walk has not caught up with your new heart. Your walk has not caught up. It's a lag thing. You believe in Jesus, that's just chair 4. But now your soul has to die. You're born to die. You're born for only one reason, so that you can die. Jesus was born so that he could die. Jesus was born on earth. He's eternal. It isn't even part of the world. But he decided to empty himself, come down, and die. So he was born to die. So the only reason you're born is so you can die. Up in heaven, he could never die. So he's always Son of God, and he can never die. Not even possible. So on the third day, he rose again from the dead. And the same with you. On the third day, when Jesus comes back again to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords, you'll die on the third day. A day with the Lord is 1,000 years. So you're going to die, and you're already in it right now. Chronologically, you're already in the last 1,000 years. So he shortens the day because of your sin and because of your temptation, knowing that if it was a full 1,000 years, you would be tempted to follow the devil. That's how wicked you are. Even you're a Christian, you love Jesus, you've been born again, but you can be witchcrafted in the last days. And do not assume that the devil won't pull out all the stops. He pulls out every stop. That organ is going to make a big noise to tempt you into following the siren, to following the whore. And if you think not, you have to read the Bible again. Adam and Eve were no match for the devil. You will be as long as you have faith in God. As long as your faith is not in yourself, your pride, your self-confidence, you'll make it. You need the Word of God every day, every day, every day, every day. And we live by every word that constantly is proceeding out of the mouth of God. Not once a week. That's not enough. I'm sorry. You ran against men and barely made it. What are you going to do when you're running against horses? So God says, don't worry, this thing is going to go fast. It's going to go fast, much faster than you can imagine. So if you think time is running out, time is running out. Right? So you need to be today ready for his return. I know, Israel's going to get it first. Why is that? It's simple. Because all the world is under law because of Israel. Israel's submission to the law is to escape God. I'll say that again. The only reason that Israel followed the law of Moses is so that they can escape facing the living God. Because every Christian every Christian is tempted and many fall away. They apostatize. So it's, as a matter of fact, I could probably count on my hand the few people I've met that are really born again, spirit-filled, spirit-led. It's not to put anyone down, it's just to simply say you're playing with not just religion, you're playing with a relationship, fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So you have fellowship every day by the power of his resurrection, and that's what he wants. That's all he's wanting, to be part of his fellowship. So you have to go against culture. You have to renounce all culture. I'm just talking today, not because I planned. I'm just talking today and just saying this book of Deuteronomy is the last book if you are part of the Reformation. And I don't know if I should say it, but I believe I was called, and I believe that's why I'm not dead, to be finishing the Reformation. In other words, it started something, but it's not enough to start. You have to finish. And if you don't read the Bible daily, because it says in the Bible, blessed be the name of the Lord, for he, what?
Daily.
Loads us, plural, with benefits. You're the beneficiary of God. He doesn't have any others. It's just us, meaning anyone who believes in Jesus Christ and goes all the way. But to do that, you have to go through chair 5 to get to chair 6. You'll never get to chair 6 if you don't die before you try to love your neighbor. Because your neighbor is going to kill you. The neighbor is the one after you. Even Christians will turn you in. Amen? I know none of you will do that. But in case you do, I forgive you. You're already forgiven. It's not a big deal. When I became a believer, I immediately spoke these words. The Father God just went right into my heart. Jesus came right along with him, and it's to the death for me. So I plan to die. And I will die. And I'm amazed that he's kept me alive so long. Must be for your sakes. Seriously. Because I know I haven't even done what God told me to do. I know I haven't. I can't even do the first sentence. I can't even do anything. And I know what it is he wants. But I'm going to use this book to teach justification by faith. This book will help me because it's the opposite. This book is the opposite, and God always hides his blessings underneath the law. Underneath the law. That is to read between the lines. That is to read then the white fire which conquers the black fire. The black letters on the page, reading it by the letter, it kills. Reading it by the Spirit, it gives eternal life. Reading it by the Spirit, so when I read the Old Testament, I see the promise. I don't see the commands. I'm blind. Who is blind but my servant? So I don't see the culture. I don't see the sins of the culture. I'm not even interested in anything. I don't care about what people don't do or do. I'm not God. I'm not the Savior. I'm not anything but a nothing. You have to be a nothing to be a Christian. You have to die to yourself daily. You have to die daily, Paul says. I die daily, right? So 4, 5, and 6 up here, you have to understand repentance doesn't mean repentance. It means comfort yourself because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So it begins with repentance here that I can't keep this law except I be born again. So that drives me in this direction rather than back to hypocrisy and back to open sin. But people today are openly sinful. We face it every day in our own country, a country that was built on the influence of the Word of God. All of our documents are influenced by the Bible. You may not know that, but You cannot convince me that it's an Enlightenment document. I know there were a lot of some Enlightenment people, but you cannot convince me, because I'm certain that they got all of it from the Bible. All of it. But it's an influence. It doesn't say Jesus on the first page. It doesn't say in the beginning God. But if you read the Declaration of Independence, it says the laws of nature and nature's God. So, because of that, I believe that everything is rigged on my behalf. You believe that, Tim?
Yeah.
Everything. Now, if you don't read the Bible every day, you won't understand the richness of it. You have to read the Bible every day, even the Old Testament. The Old Testament's for Christians to get all the sin out of your soul till you're dead, and all of the sin out of your walk until you're ready to be a bride without spot, without wrinkle, without any such thing. So I will be a blemishless saint in God's sight because I was a wicked sinner. And because of that, best thing you got going for you, the most loving thing God could ever do is show you your wickedness, your sinfulness, your pride, your self-confidence, the fact that you don't want to be like God, you want to be God. You could say amen.
Amen.
You want to be God. Everybody born of the flesh wants to be God. That's why you have to be born again. So you're born of the Spirit, so that through the Spirit you can read the Old Testament as well as the New. So everything in the New Testament is gospel, good news, euangelion, like an angel, good news. So this good news that comes from the Bible says God loves you whether you love him or not. I'll say it again. God loves you unconditionally whether you love God or not. As a matter of fact, he doesn't want you to do anything good for God. I'm among you, he says, not to be served. I'm among you not to have you do good for me. I don't want you to do anything for me. I expect nothing in return. I'm doing it unconditionally. I love you as you are, wicked sinners. Hello? Now, is this message easy to teach? No. Especially with the law of the Old Testament that says there's only commands over you. Not for me. Those commands refer to Jesus. He did them for me. He's doing them in me. He does them through me. And men, when they see my good works, they won't glorify me. They'll glorify our Father in heaven. So when we do something good, you didn't do it. Jesus did it. When you do something and think, wow, I think that was good, you better make sure you put some salt with that. That is faith. You do it in faith. So I love my Lord our God with all my heart, all my soul, all my strength, by faith. I love my neighbor as myself, by faith. In other words, Jesus did it. In other words, Jesus is the only actor in the universe. You have never acted and you never will act, and there'll be no reward for you whatsoever, except it's a free gift. And it will be a free gift. So everything God has ever done for you is totally, totally not under a law. It's under the Spirit, because God is Spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit, the Holy Spirit, and in truth. I am the truth. I am the way, the truth, the life. So whatever God hath done in this book is so simple. You do nothing, he does everything. You take the blessing, he gives you. Why? Because he promised that in the Old Testament. To Abraham, he promised it. And in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. We're blessed every day. Not just one or two blessings. Probably thousands, probably millions. You have no idea. You're only alive today because the wages of sin is death. You should be dead. But you're not dead, because even though you're a Christian, you still sin. And he wants you to sin. He's not surprised. Oh, can't believe that they did that. That was Pastor Jim. I'm sure he's not shocked or surprised. This was Karen, and she was a new believer. And she just did it for a while, and she just went back to her old nature. Isn't that amazing? Aren't you amazed at yourself? Because sin is so tempting. And if you think it's not, you haven't run against horses. But you're about to. And you see the horses going after Trump. You see the horses going after Christians. You're next, by the way. It isn't just the president they're after. It's you. It's an anti-Christian spirit in the world. Yep. So the Antichrist, who may well be the Pope, the Antichrist who makes a deal with someone that's from Idumea. You don't know what I'm talking about, but you have to listen. Because Idumea is a Muslim country, and a deal has already been struck in our own day. So they've already concluded, and he's made statements like this, the current Pope, that we could get along with the Muslims. So he's a humanist. He's a friend to homosexuals. He's a friend to, he doesn't care. He's just, all religion is nothing but man at his best state. And man at his best state is altogether
vanity.
Nothing. Zero. So you need to be a zero. How many of you are zeros in God's sight? In God's sight. Because everything he did, he did. You didn't did it. So since you didn't did it, you don't get any reward. Unless it's a gift. And you're going to get a reward in the end. But it's just a free gift. In fact, you're already getting them now. You're not going to stop. So does anyone teach like I teach? I don't think so. I think there might be probably 7,000 others. I think David does that. I think the people that are part of our church, because they're like teachable. And if you teach them, they want to learn how to look at their sin every day and laugh. Turn your back on your problems. When you have a problem, you don't have a problem. Turn your back on your problems. They belong to Jesus. Let Jesus do them. He's really good. He's really good. And he's really, really gracious. You have a gracious God. And not only that, he's really merciful. And so he forgives all your sins. So he already forgave him 2,000 years ago. Nay, 6,000 years ago. He already did all that. He lived your life 6,000 years before the world was born. He knew everything you would think, say, do. He knew everything about you and said, I'm going to marry that girl. Jesus, you just wait here. You have to wait about 4,000 years, and then you'll be born of the Virgin Mary. And then you'll start your work. And don't teach the law. Teach a new law. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. I don't want people to die. I want people to live forever and ever and ever and ever. World without end. And the same time as Melchizedek. You don't even know who Melchizedek is. And as far as I know, no one does. But it's right there in the Bible. All you have to do is read Revelation chapter 5, verse 10. Write it down. You need to write it down. You need to see it for yourself. Who is Melchizedek? Because he's without father and mother. Did it mean he didn't have a father and mother? No, doesn't. You have to read who he is. You have to read who he is. And since you don't know, just read it until you see yourself in it. And then you'll realize it's the Church of Jesus Christ. The Church of Jesus Christ will survive. The gates of hell will try to prevail. But there's one thing it cannot prevail against, and that's the thing that Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against her.
Jesus.
The bride. So you're the bride, the glorious bride of Jesus Christ. I haven't shared really what I'm saying to you up until now because I just see who will last. I'm serious. Because years ago he told me what I was to do. And I know what I'm to do. And it's scary to do it. They'll kill you for doing it. But anyway, I'll leave that to God. I don't have to do it. All I have to do is be faithful and be ready to die. Die daily. Every day. I die every day. How many here die every day?
Yes.
Karen. Yes. Yes. Lynn. Who else? Yes. Willis. Yes. Susan. David. Powerful. When you die every day, that means you see your sin every day because you say, God, if there be any wicked way in me, just say it to me. And immediately I'll look to you. Beholding you, I'm changed from one degree of glory, sanctification, to another degree of glory, glorification, so that I'll be a bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. If you want to be a bride, you can't have two lovers. If you want to be betrothed to Jesus Christ, you can't have a boyfriend on the side or a girlfriend on the side. You have to completely be dead to this world because you've found the pearl of great price. You've found what everything is worth selling for, to just know Jesus and Jesus alone. Solus Christus in the Latin. Sola gratia, grace alone. Sola fide, faith alone. Soli Deo Gloria, to God be the glory. This is all God wants, is the glory. What is the glory? The glory is that's who he is. He is the glorious one. You're not. Honor doesn't fit well on people. But all politicians and all businessmen trying to be honorable. We're honest and, you know, we're truthful and we're wonderful, awesome. And people look up to him. Don't. You have one God, Jesus Christ. That's it. You'll never know the Father except you know the Son. And the Father actually draws you to the Son. You don't just come. It was a miracle that you came. Well, I just read the Bible and all of a sudden I became a Christian. Well, it's possible, but the Father drew you to the Son. And so when you become a Christian, you don't take credit. You don't have merit. You don't get anything that deserves anything. You never worked and you never will. For all eternity, you'll be the wife of the bridegroom, who now is your husband. So since he's your husband, he's the only one that worketh on the earth. But the Father worketh through the Son, reconciling the world to himself. So you are unified, you are one with God, atonement, at-one-ment. You're at one with God, and the whole reason he created the world was so he could be one with every single individual person. The individual is gone in much of the world. There's only the king and businessmen and people that, you know, do well. Mm-mm. You are the people of God. All people are beloved of God as individuals. You cannot come into heaven as a family. You come in one by one by one by one. All you have to do is read the Bible and you can see how many times you shows up. And it's not just a plural you. Could be. But it's also always an individual. You come individually. So you need to be righteous personally. How do you do that? By faith. You need to be holy. You need to be the worshiper of God. But how do you do that? By faith. But someday, the thing that you believe now, you'll see with these eyes. These eyes in the land of the living, as Job said. Though worms destroy this body, yet in the land of the living, I will see God with my own eyes. Wow. That's powerful. He's really talking about Jesus Christ. Did you know Jesus Christ will be your judge? Jesus Christ will be a judge, and he's going to judge you by what he did for you that you believed in. Or by what he did for you, which you didn't believe in. There. Left hand, right hand. Left hand, right hand. Left hand, right hand. This is salvation for everyone that's a believer. This one over here is you perish forever and ever and ever. For all eternity, world without end, you will always be out of the presence of the living God. So what is eternal life? God. God within. The kingdom of God is within you. So he is that kingdom that's within you. And he's working in as a king, a Lord. My Lord said to my Lord, Old Testament. That is, the Father said to the Son, this day I have begotten you. And I can take any verse in the Bible and do the whole Bible. I'm not bragging. I'm just simply saying I read it every day. I can take any verse in the Bible and come to the same conclusion that God is exactly who he say is. I am that I am. He has always been am. You are never am. Until Jesus says you are, then you am. The first time you can ever say that is when Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Then I am the light of the world. I can say I am. Why? Because God said that. The one I am in heaven is actually living in me. And I can now say, I am a new creation. I am a you know, one that is an overcomer in this world, and so on and so forth. You can say that. Because you are the light, you are the salt, you are everything. You are everything. Why? Because he is. If he's eternal life, you have eternal life. Because he's in you. And now, you in Christ, Christ in you, that's a new name. You never had that name before you met Jesus Christ. You didn't even know God wanted you to be the temple of the Holy Ghost. Not a tent. Not a tabernacle. Tent. No, no, no. This is a temple of the Holy Spirit. The temple of God. This is what God's all about. Now, it's that's called prolegomena. I just began saying a few words, but they're powerful words. And you can listen to them over and over and over again. I would say there are very few people that could preach and finish the Reformation, what they started. It's so simple. It's not complicated. I can reduce it to two words. Law. I'm going to read the law today. And gospel. If you understand the law in truth, in other words, if God reveals it to you, the gospel is hidden with all its blessings underneath the law. So if you don't see through the law to the blessings, you haven't seen anything. Because the blessings are all under the law. They're not the law. As a matter of fact, there's a new law. The natural law now becomes the spiritual law. The natural law now becomes the spiritual law. In other words, Moserati is the eternal law, the spiritual law. And that word means you're handcuffed so you don't reach too far because you're not God. And the shackled feet are the ropes, those heavy ropes that shackle the legs. And those shackles, the first one is made out of iron. And men say these words, I wish we could toss off these arm, you know, this iron thing. Just bust that thing, break that thing. I don't want to be limited. I want to be unlimited like God. Ah, they want to be God. And they don't want their feet not to trespass everywhere. They don't like to be restrained. The whole world doesn't want to be restrained. They want to be free. But their word freedom merely means license. I want to be licentious, period. You've always desired to be God. You always wanted to be in control of everything. You always wanted to control your whole life and not learn anything from God because you know everything. But God wants you to be a zero, like Pastor Jim. Yeah. Anyone, you can say it. I want to be a zero like Pastor Jim. Maybe even Pastor David. Yeah, maybe. No, same. If you're a believer, you're a new creation. You don't belong to this world. You don't belong to culture. You don't belong to anything. I despise everything in culture. Everything. So I have a total cultural background. I renounce it all. I don't believe any word of it. I know it's a lie. It's a lie. And the devil was the father of lies. The devil was a deceiver. The devil was an accuser who then, as soon as you are tempted by him, he'll accuse you to the Father. Ah, did you see? That's your person right there? They just walked over the line. They did. They didn't obey your laws. So the legalist Satan is a legalistic person that interprets the law according to the letter. He can't even read the Bible because he reads it always by the letter and it just kills him and he'll be dead. He will never, ever, ever, ever be in God's presence forever. He was once. He was the angel. He was an angel. In fact, he was Lucifer, the lighted one. And he used to make reports to God in heaven. He didn't do your law. He didn't do your law. She didn't do your law. And he's always accusing the brethren. Now, God knows that every time you read about a woman in the Bible, could be a bad woman, good woman, but the woman is always the church. I don't care who it is, bad church, good church. Doesn't matter. So, Eve was the first woman. She should have been the first church, but she goofed up because she sinned. She sinned. Adam then just was so stupid, he didn't even, you know, deliberately hear the devil. He just did it. Yeah, I'll eat that. You look good to me. And so men are stupid. I'll say that again because you probably didn't learn the word stupid. It's like they're stupefied. He just simply said, you look good to me. Has this been 24 hours? I don't know. But you sure look good. And so he went with his wife, and then God bawled him out and said, why did you listen to your wife? That was his sin. Why do you listen to your wife? You know why? Because she might be right.
Well, I always pray about it.
Yeah, right. So you check it by Bible. And so there's nothing wrong with a woman. She's the church. But because she listens, the husband listens, that's his problem. That's not your problem as a wife. And remember Jacob's. Remember Jacob? Yaakov, the supplanter, the cheater, the evil one, Jim. You know, he listened to his mom. And the mom said, hey, your dad will think you're Esau if you just put this little skin here that I've cooked up for you. And he was able to get his birthright. He was able to get the blessing. He got everything. And the brother ended up famished, and you know, because he was a big hunter and hairy man. And the father was like shocked. But once I've blessed, said Isaac, I've blessed. Can't take it back. Once I bless you. Remember, he had to cross his arms like a cross. You see how he crossed his arms? Which one then is on top? Which one is on the bottom? So you have to understand how the Bible speaks in such terms. You have to ask the Holy Spirit, what did you mean by that? When you said that, what did you mean? So when God says that I love you with everything I have, he cannot lie. If God ever says anything, he cannot lie. So every word in here is what you live by. This is eternal life. You just read this word. Now, I want to start out with chapter 1, verse 1. This is the Genesis. I mean, this is Deuteronomy in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Fifth book. So this is the fifth book in the Torah. The Torah is not law. You can translate it as law, and it has about six or seven words that you could translate into law. This is not law. This was instruction or teaching. God every day wants to teach you out of the Bible. Every day. You could be meditating on it. It's okay. But you make sure you stick to the actual words, not the ones you speculate, you know, figure out, think about. Uh-uh. You need to be instructed. You are the lesser. He is the greater. And he'll always be great. You will never be God. You'll never be God. He did not create to have some more gods. You don't need any more gods. All you have is one. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's the one God. Catholics and Protestants believe the same thing. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There's no difference. So they're Christian for that reason. Even if they've been bewitched. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? You were born again, just like Israel, but then you went astray. You wandered off the path. But the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Habakkuk, and again, the 1:17 in Romans. So all of this made the Reformation, because Luther discovered in the Bible that there was no other actor in the universe except God himself. And so if Jesus does it, the Father did it. If the Father did it, Jesus did it. Because he revealed the Father, and you are called to reveal the Father through the Son. according to the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they all do the same thing. One didn't like the Father as the Creator. No. The Father and the Son and the Spirit, they were all there. You can read it in the first chapter, first verse, right there. It's right there. So since they did everything together, they just were three different persons, but they did the same work. Jesus actually created this world. The Holy Spirit actually created this world. The Father actually created this world. So even though they're three, they're one. Because they're not like Aphrodite, who couldn't get along with Hermes or whatever else. In other words, all other gods disagree with one another because they're human. They're just man-made. There are no other religions. There is no Buddhism. There is no Hinduism. There is no Confucianism. There is no Muslim. There's nothing out there. They're all idols. Everyone is an idol. The Pharaoh is an idol. Everyone is an idol everywhere you go. Now, they were in these places. First, they were in Egypt, and they were slaves in Egypt because of their sin. Because of their sin, they were slaves in Egypt. And he had told that to Abraham, don't worry, 400 years your people will be in bondage. But it starts with the weaning of, no one knows this, I'm just telling you. It starts with the weaning of Yitzhak, Isaac. He laughs. Because when he was born, they laughed at God of saying, he's going to give us, I'm going to be 100 next year in the spring. It has to be in the spring, just like when Jesus was born. Spring. In the spring of the year, you'll have a baby. And so that's how it happened. And so that first child of his was an amazing promise because she was old also. And she said, I'll be 89. Golly. Wow, that's old. How many know that's old? But people today live to be almost 105, maybe even 10, but seldom more. But there are people in the world that have lived to be 150. And they're not alive now. But those people, I remember because Life magazine had pictures of all the people in the world, and they were always in isolated spots, and they never left town. So they lived in the top of a mountain somewhere in Peru, then they lived in the, you know, some way that you couldn't get disease from any outsiders. The minute your kids go to school, they're going to get diseased. Did you hear what I just said? Because you're with little kids with runny noses and so on and so forth, and that's the way it is. And you pick up all kinds of germs. You pick up all kinds of things. And it's because you're not going to live very long unless you're a Christian. Then you live forever and ever and ever. Now, this simple teaching that sola scriptura, only this scripture tells you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So I can read through any scripture and find the promise buried underneath. All the blessings are there. Because God loves you exactly as you are. Not fixed up, just exactly as you are. He doesn't want you to fix up. He is the makeover. He wants to make you over. He doesn't want you to use, you know, rouge and all that stuff. I'm not saying you can't do it. I'm just simply saying don't put your faith in that. I'm beautiful today because I'm wearing lipstick or, you know, eyeshadow or something. All of that, the pagans invented all that. Totally. But that doesn't mean anything. You don't go to hell because you do it. I'm just simply saying don't do it because just let Jesus fix you, but he's not going to fix your outside. He's going to fix your inside. That's why Queen Esther was beautiful not only on the outside to win the contest, but also on the inside. And her true beauty was inward beauty. Person. Her person. And what he loved about her was she didn't just look good on the outside, a trophy wife. She also looked good on the inside. And he could see, this woman is totally dedicated to me. And it's for this reason I was born and I've come to the throne, so that I can help the Jewish people. And Purim. So everything in the Bible is all about you. It's not about somebody else. It's about you personally. It's about you personally. Your personality development, you don't get it in school anymore. Schools are worthless today. No. Worthless. Because they don't teach the Bible. It's not even on the judge's bench anymore. And if you make a thing, it'll be someone just confirming something or whatever. But it's really not serious. Nobody takes anybody at their word today because they don't trust people. But the Bible says that. Psalm 118, verse 7 and 8. 7 says, put not your trust in man. Put your trust in the Lord. Then the next verse, 8, also says it, and that's the middle of the Bible. Put not your trust in princes. In other words, rulers. Put your trust in the Lord. So if you make a trust, make sure it's in the Lord. That'd be the first sentence in any trust. If it's a living trust, it's a will, whatever you are. Make sure you bear witness to Jesus Christ, because he's the only God there is. And anyone else, you'll not have eternal life. But if you have him, you have to renounce this world. That's what baptism is all about. You're actually renouncing the culture. You've been baptized into Christ Jesus. So you drown in the water, and then you come up from the drowning. You have resurrection. It's your birthday. It's your birthday. You've been born again. A lot of people, after they're baptized, they say, that's my real birthday. And what they mean is, that's when they were born of the Spirit, not just born of the flesh. Because they renounce this world. You have to repent, and it doesn't mean what people say it means. But this kind of repentance is true repentance. The other kind is repenting like, I'll stop doing bad and I'll start doing good. That's just morality. That's just man-made morality. That's just people behaving themselves, and it'll make you sick. It'll get you into all kinds of trouble. But if you do this New Testament understanding of metanoia, meta means change, and noia means your nous, your mind. But it isn't. That's the denotation. But the connotation is that it says change of heart, because God gave you a new heart. And that changes your mind. And you renew your mind every day by renewing it every day. I'm not a sinner, even though I just did. I'm not a sinner. I'm not under the law. I'm under grace. So everybody here has to have a gracious God. Raise your hand if you have a gracious God. And you can just do it. You don't have to even feel it or understand it. Just do it. When you just do it, it trains you into how God speaks. Because his words are not your words. His thoughts are not your thoughts. His ways are not your ways. So he's teaching you heavenly language, not earthly language. This book is all we have from God. All we have here is this book right here. Now, sophisticated people, they don't need the book because they're way beyond it. We're a post-Christian, post-modern, post-everything. That's cute, but it's not true. You just are the same sinner you've always been. And it'll come out. Sooner or later, you'll come out. And you'll see that you cannot be married. You cannot make a business. You cannot be a politician without sinning all over the place. You will, no matter what. Because something will be your God. And you need to renounce all that and say, I'm not going to go the way of the world. I'm going to go the way of God. And I'm going to let God be my whole life. Now, God actually can hear that and actually hears you when you say that. And he can answer you. And you every day you get revelations. I do. Every day you get revelations. Brand new revelation you never had before. Because he's simplifying everything in the gospel. It's good news, good news, good news. Be happy, be happy, be happy. The word happy is not the right word. It's actually not just human happiness. Because beer will do that. And opioid, all that kind of stuff. But this is truly joy, unspeakable, and full of glory. He wants you to be full of glory every day. That's a gift of God. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. Those 9 fruits of the Spirit. He wants you every day to have heavenly communication with God, fellowship with God. You can be born again, but in order not to be witchcrafted, you need to use the Bible as your remedy for any accusation the devil has against you. Because he'll try to attack you. He'll try to come at you. Well, you've had too many blessings. Now it's going to be bad from now on. No, don't listen to him. That's why when we had kids, they would say, well, wait till she's a 2-year-old. And I said, I don't see that in the Bible. I don't see that in the Bible. So I don't believe that. And she was perfect. Well, okay, wait till they're a teenager. And then you'll see. I said, I don't see that in the Bible. I didn't say it to them. I just said it to myself. I don't see that in the Bible. So I'm not going to buy anything man says to me. I'm not afraid of man. I don't care about man's approval. I don't want it. And sure enough, I don't. And so you're an individual. Don't ever forget that. You're an individual, and he's going to divide the whole world into two groups. One will be born of the flesh, the other born of the spirit. You're born of the spirit. So my task, David's task, you know, Jeff's task, you know, all the ministers in our church, we'll have seven of us before this year is out. And we might even have eight. Why? I think that's my ministry, is to mentor people until they're sinless, blemishless, so that they can say. And a lot of the deacons are the same thing. It's the same thing. You just train them the same. So deacons could always be a pastor. It's not a problem. But a lot of deacons don't want to be. They just tell me, I don't want to be a pastor. I'll just be an assistant. And I can name several of them in our church. And they say, no, I'm just going to be a deacon. I don't want to be a pastor. I don't know what they have wrong. Because you're trained the same way. You're trained the same way. So it's exciting. So we have a lot of deacons also in our church, and could be deaconesses also. You have to pray that the deaconesses will really be mature enough to teach the younger women to love their husbands. We don't have a lot. And so you have to pray for that. Pray that God will send you mature women already, or train them. And so you train them. So we've been training them. And it's powerful. But a lot of men actually get it before the women do, because we focus on men because they're hard. Because men are stupid. Because all they know is make money and, you know, be a big shot and so on and so forth. They don't really know about how to be humble. But men can be proud too. And so you need to do that, because we don't have any men in our religion anymore. We have a lot of wimps. They're just milquetoast. They're just not wanting to be a man, because they can't tell you the truth and then live with it. Because that man might poke you in the nose. And I've done that many times. And you have to be able to say the truth and not be afraid of what the repercussions are. But if you don't, then people will not follow you. So I know what God says, I'm going to do it. And I can go all over the world and speak the truth to people, and they receive it. Why? Because the third world is more powerful than the first world, England and Europe, or the new world, America. It's hard to teach the truth to people that are used to a lie. Because they want everything to be smooth and immediate, and, you know, they want to see everything. I don't believe in seeing. I believe in faith. If you go by faith, you don't go by sight. So I don't need anyone to thank me or do anything. I don't want it. I don't want to hear it. Because I don't trust people. So don't trust man. Don't trust princes. Don't trust anyone who's in leadership. Police, anyone. Because they may or may not be what they ought to be. Right? But I believe the pastors are not praying enough. I believe the churches are not hot enough to make everyone hot. Only the church, Zestos, Z-E-S-T-O-S. Zestos means you're hot, meaning the fire is in you of the Holy Spirit. We sang that this morning in one of our songs, I think two of them. But that fire of the Holy Spirit is passionate, and it's all the way. You cannot just preach it and then leave it. It's not a technique. It's not a trick. It's just that fire inside of you says you will obey God with all your heart, soul, and strength. And when you do it, you didn't even know you did it, because there's a silent hand. There's a secret hand that no one can see. That is, God is working that in your life. God, I don't want anyone to be more Christian than me. Well, he's not going to answer that, because that was a proud thing. But if you say, God, I want to be the most righteous person on earth, then you set yourself up for God pointing out all your sins. He will. He'll just point them out, and probably he'll have a wife that knows how to tell you the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And that's what you want. As a man, you want a wife that will not submit to you. You want a wife that will submit to God.
So I got a good one?
You did it. Perfect. She's perfect. Would you say she's perfect? Amen. She is. Because it has nothing to do with you. It has to do with God. God wants to give you. As Christ loved the church, so let every man love his wife. Every man doesn't sound like Christians. Every man doesn't sound like Jewish. Every man sounds like every man. Did you know the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few? And so all you, male or female, it doesn't matter. There's no difference. I know we think there's a difference. And I'm not saying there isn't a difference. There is a difference, but it's not significant. It's just simply women are necessary for a lot of reasons. But they are the ones normally that instruct the kids and make sure that they're behaving. Luther had a mother that one day he was a little boy and he saw some nuts on the table. And he went out to reach those nuts, and wham! She slapped him as hard as she could. And that will teach him a lesson. He never had a nut after that. He didn't want to, because he mom might be looking. And just, and the nuns do that in Catholic schools. They can whop you. And, you know, my father, he was whopped. This is my biological father. But they do, and they just, you know, authority, you know, they have a ruler or something like that that doesn't kill you, but it does sting a lot. And so you have to be used to discipline. How many here are disciplined? You know, every day how to discipline yourself to go through the routine. It's not interesting, just do it. So when you do it, every day I say to my wife, you're the best. I'm so blessed to have you as a wife. She likes that. I don't know why. She doesn't ever argue with that. She likes that. And she likes it the more, take out the garbage, I just go right away, take it around, whatever. And if I don't, she'll be unhappy about that. She wants, did you take the garbage out? Oh, I forgot. Well, get it right now. I love that kind of wife. Don't you love that? It's great. Because she can be herself. She can totally be herself. Most people take their lives because they can't be themselves. Did you hear what I just said? In other words, you don't know it, but they're beating themselves up on the inside. But you need to say, no, God loves you. And he loves anybody. I don't care who it is. He loves everybody. He loves everybody. He has never set a respecter of persons. So he wants to do it. Okay, verse 1. Don't worry about it. Everything is in here. These be the words which Moses spake unto all Israel. Okay, everyone was there. Probably 2 to 3 million. On this side of the Jordan. So he's on the east side of the Jordan. Not west like us over here. West. In the plain, and that word plain is a certain thing in the mountainous region that they were at. And we call it Mount Sinai, but the Bible calls it Horeb. H-O-R in Hebrew means a mountain. And when it's Horeb, it means, this is a very interesting, it means then a whole group of mountains on the Moab side of Israel. So if you look across the lake toward Syria, toward anything outside, Iran, Iraq, all that. They're all west and north. Okay. If you look across there, Moses then went through Seir, Idumea, where the Antichrist might come from, and he settled in Moab, but on the very border of Ammon, north, middle, south. So If you go from Horeb, it only takes 11 days to get to Kadesh Barnea. Kadesh means holy. It's Kodesh in Hebrew. Kodesh means holy. So it means set aside by God's purpose. So that before they enter into the promised land, they have to land at Kodesh. And Bar, Barnea, Bar means sun. And the Barnea means a wandering sun for 40 years. So Israel came to holiness, but couldn't cross over, because the true holiness is Jesus Christ. The true holiness is a gift of God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. So that was just a physical object you could see. This is an invisible object you can never see until Jesus Christ comes back again as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. No one has ever seen him like that. They've seen him as the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, first coming. But they haven't seen him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords with vengeance for the wicked and deliverance for the righteous. So you'll be part of that. You'll be part of that. And that's gift. That's, you don't have to qualify. You just give it for anybody. Anybody. So whoever is. So that's why you should be an evangelist. You should have the joy of the Lord on your face. Don't be an evangelist that looks sour. You should have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. So that when they see you, they're attracted by the outward view. But the outward will not save them. They still need the truth to save them. Your life, love, won't change people. Your life, love, won't change people. Truth saves everybody. The truth shall set you free. When you say Jesus, they're offended. Everyone in the world doesn't want to hear that Jesus is Lord. You can imagine all the other cultures. They wouldn't like it. But America started out with Christians dominating the conversation. And they invented all kinds of things that they learned from the Bible. The Bible was the most powerful book, not John Locke, not all the other people. I read all of those. Those are not the ones, not all those philosophers and ideologies and so on and so forth. So God didn't make America out of sticks and stones. He made it because people hear and they did a lot of sin. That's not the issue. The issue is their heart. Their issue is their heart. They wrote words that were noble sounding. In other words, they were taken from the Bible. But they don't give credit to the Bible. They just do it. But if you read carefully between the lines, you can say it was all done by this Bible and not by... I can just show you, there's no reason you would ever think that any other country in the world has justice. Even if they pretend like they are, it's just man-made. They don't have real justice, and that's why there is no peace on earth. There's no peace because there's no justice, because religious liberty is not allowed in any other country, even if they say it. Even if they say it, oh yeah, we believe in religious liberty. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. Religious liberty is there's no obstruction. There's no one stopping you. So you could sin or you could also believe in Jesus. That's true freedom. I'm not afraid of wicked people, evildoers. I'm not, because the Bible says fret not because of evildoers. Pray for them, bless them, love them, forgive them. Do good for them. Never curse them. That is a Christian. Now you're a Christian because you can say, I'm not hostile toward anybody. Not just because I said it, but it's because that's true. I'm not hostile toward anybody that hates me or despises me or wants to kill me. I don't blame them. That's okay. I intended to die. So I'm not afraid of that. If you are, you don't want to then share. So you need to be hot. So passionate toward the unsaved, so that they become born again, filled with the Spirit. Amen? So, and a Christian, if you were Jewish, you have to have 10 men to make a synagogue. But Christians reduced it to 2 or 3. So Jesus had a really good idea. To win the whole world, we just need 2 or 3. And 3 is just a kind of... solidify it. But two is enough. If you have two people that say, I heard God today, it's a church. Two people. One said, I heard it, and the other one says, amen, I did too. That's it. That's a church. So a church is where just two people. So you could do it in the grocery store. You could do it in the parking lot. You can do it anywhere in the world. Just find one neighbor. That's it. Two people. That's enough. You can be in jail with one other person on the bunk bed and so on and so forth. Enough. You can get people saved. This thing is so easy, you can spread this thing from cities to countryside, countryside to cities. It doesn't matter. Next verse. Now remember, only 40 years, it was only 11 days. Because when they came to the land in Kadesh Barnea, when they came there, that's just south of Judah. Just south of Judah. I know you can't understand this because you don't know the geography, but just bear with me. But it took them because the God said, now go in and take the land. And the people said, no. They're giants. The Anakim. And so then they had to wander for 38 years until they got back to where God wanted them. And now in the 40th year, he's reading this Deuteronomy to them second time. And what he's doing is preaching the gospel, but you don't know it because it's hidden. Deus absconditus. Deus absconditus. The hidden God. God always hides his blessings underneath his law. He always hides his blessings in the opposite. So if you see death, you actually see life. If you see life, you actually see death. So whatever you see, it's under its opposite. Always in the Bible. You'll never ever see it with these eyes until Jesus comes back. Then you'll see it for the first time. There are 11 days. He names all the places that they traveled. There are 11 days journey from Horeb, by the way of Mount Seir, Idumea, unto Kadesh Barnea, the holy restless sun. And it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month of the first day of the month. See how much detail there is for God, for everybody to read about it. That Moses spake unto the children of Israel according to all that the Lord had given him in commandment unto them. So he's the one commanding what God commanded that he should say. After he had slain Sihon, the king of the Amorites. So the Amorites are north. I told you, he's in Moab, but he's on the border. And then right there is all of these people, the Amorites. Now he said, don't touch Edom, Esau's people. Don't touch them. Pay food. If you want food, pay for it. If you want drink, pay for it. They're relatives, and I want to deal with them personally. I don't want you to deal with them. And don't touch the Moabites. Same. And don't touch the Ammonites. They're all relatives. That was from Lot. So, remember the daughter of Lot? Mother turned to salt and all that kind of stuff. And then they said, hey, you know, there's no woman around, so let's sleep with Dad and create the Ammonites and the Moabites. That's where they came from. And so they're all relatives. Don't touch your relatives. Your relatives, leave them alone. Treat them at an arm's length. I'll deal with them later. And so you'll see in the end, and those are the three that hate Israel the most. The three that hate are those. Remember Haman? That's in the Esther story. Remember, one time Saul tried to kill the people, and he said, kill everybody, men, women, and children, all the animals, everything. And then the prophet came, Samuel, he came and said, what is this I'm hearing? Oh, don't worry, that's just the king. And the sheep, they're good sheep. These are good sheep. I said, destroy all of them. Well, that guy lived on, he was a Gittite, and he then was part of, and he became close to the king of Persia, Iran. Same thing that's in the news today. Nothing is new under the sun. Everything is as old as the hills. So don't think there's anything brand new. There's nothing brand new. It's all the old, old story. He's just trying to reintroduce. And I'm excited because I believe he's called me to this, David. I hope you're excited also. But it's exciting to finish what the Reformation started, to say there's not a lot of people out there. They might have a better mind, might have better information, they might know the languages and so on and so forth, but they don't have the same spirit. You have to be totally dead to this world, 100%. And I can't even preach a sermon. I don't even know how to do it, and nor does anyone else. So a slick person I don't trust. You have to be real. You have to be intimate with God. Every single day, He has to be your only life. There is no other life. You got Jesus, you got everything. You got Jesus, you don't need another friend. You don't need anyone. You don't need anything. You just need Jesus. And I'm totally content with that. Anyway, so it says, and it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day, Moses spake to the children of Israel according to all that the Lord had given him in commandment. And after he had slain Sihon, the king of the Amorites. So that's the first guy he killed. And God said, you can do that one. Kill him. Which dwelt in Heshbon. Remember I said opposite? Kill him is not killing him. It's not just that he's killing them. What he's doing is saying, underneath there's a blessing to this, because I know the future, you don't. And I know if you kill these people, the fear will go all over all the nations round about Israel. But Israel failed. How many know Israel failed? They could not keep any of the commandments. Not the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, and tenth. They failed in every way. And Israel is a failure. I hope you understand that, because that's the key to your religion. If the law was perfect, then everybody in Israel would be alive today. But everybody in Israel would not get rid of their sins. They clung to their sins. They used the law to get rid of God. God actually said to him one time, hey, if you continue to sin, I'm going to have to kill you. And then he said, or else I'll just move my tent away. Yeah, I like the latter one. So let's sin and get him to move the tent away so he won't be on our backs all the time. Because they didn't want to confess their sins. Did you know they never want to? Ever. Ever. Even they have Kol Nidra, which is in the fall. That means the night that you confess all your sins. But it does nothing. It does no good because you started it. You did it. You did it. Doesn't count. If you did it, it doesn't count. Because you didn't reveal God. Because you didn't want to die. And if you don't die, you can't live. And if you can't live, then you're worthless. You bear no fruit. Remember he saw that fig tree when he was just about to be killed the next day. He saw the fig tree and he said, this fig tree should have figs on it. It's the season for figs. I don't see any figs here. Cursed be thou. Boom. The next morning, they woke up. Look, that tree's dead. It had leaves yesterday. No, it doesn't have anything. It's dead. Israel's house never bore fruit for God, because under the law, nothing is made perfect. Under the law, nothing is made perfect. But under grace, everything happens. Because God did it. Because God did it. Because God does everything. To God be the glory.
Amen.
To God be the glory. So God, all he wants is thanking him, but you don't do it because you're sincere. You don't do it because you understood it. You don't do it because you wanted to do it. You just did it. That's called lip service without heart. God wants to give you a new heart that you don't have. Your natural heart has to go away, but I don't see that. I see my heart right here, my pump, whatever. No, that's not your heart. Your heart is way down here in the bowels of mercy. But you can't see it. Everything that's real, you cannot see. Everything that's real, you cannot see. Everything here is seeable because these are words. But don't read the words. Read between the words. Find out the blessing underneath the law. So when I read the law, I rejoice. Every time I read the law, I get happy. Because I know Jesus died for that. Jesus died for that. Jesus died for that. Jesus died for that. So I'm not afraid of looking at all my sins. Why? But they're just nothing. They're just nothing. Jesus set me free. Jesus set me free. You know, you're free. Forever and ever and ever. It never ends. I like Jesus. And then here's another king, which dwelt in Heshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, on the east side, up the Golan Heights today, which dwelt at the Ashtaroth in Edrei. And on this side of Jordan, east side, in the land of Moab, began Moses to declare this law, saying, the Lord our God spake to us in Horeb, where they got the law, saying, Mount Sinai, you have dwelt long enough, and that's in Arabia, by the way, you have dwelt long enough in this mountain. Turn you, this is God speaking, take your journey and go to the mount of the Amorites and unto all the places nigh unto, nearby, in the plain, in the hills, in the vale, in the south, and by the sea, to the land of the Canaanites, that is further west and north, and unto Lebanon, unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Do all of that. Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give to them and to their seed after them. And I spake unto you at that time, saying, I am not able to bear you myself alone. So the Lord your God hath multiplied you. There's probably 3 million people now. And behold, you are this day as the stars of the heaven for multitude. This is when they turned back and disobeyed God. Have you ever disobeyed God? If you have, you can just raise your hand. Just do it by faith. But I know you've all sinned. So I'm not interested in that. I never want to hear about your sins. I don't care about them. Whatever you did, that's between you and God. But you need then to look at Jesus after you sinned and say, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy on me. Because I didn't know I was sinning. I didn't even read that part. You know, I just didn't. I didn't even read the Bible. I'm sorry about that one, too. And it's okay. You can just be yourself. Because Jesus loves you and will never change his mind. Once he starts loving you, he can't change his mind. Same yesterday, today, forever. He never changes. And that is what saves you. God loved you before you loved him. He loved while you were yet a sinner. He knew you were going to sin. When you were born, he knew this person's going to sin. And he never bothered about that. Oh, Lord, if you should mark iniquities, who could stand? I can't stand in your presence because I'm not perfect. But God promises to make you perfect. So right here, he's forgiven you all your sin. You believe him by faith. Right here, he begins to disciple you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And right here, you're a lover of everybody else, all peoples on the face of the earth. They are your brother or sister in the Lord. Cain killed his brother because the brother was in the way. And if you can't understand it, kill him. So he did. And then after that, I believe, this is my own speculation, not scripture. I believe that he thought about that afterward and thought, I don't think I should have killed my brother. I shouldn't have. Now, the law would condemn him, but grace would forgive him. Which is better? Grace.
Grace.
You want to have a gracious God that says, after you sin, turn to me and I'll pay for it. I'll take care of it. I'll atone for it. I'll do everything you want. There's the atonement. 4, 5, 6. And that's how you become a bride without spot, without wrinkle, without any such thing. How did you do it? You didn't do anything. God did it all. God did it all. So this whole Old Testament law is nothing but the gospel. But you have to read between the lines to see that there's good news. And it's always under the opposite. So when Jesus dies, you live. That's not fair. He didn't sin. I did. But he said, no, I'm going to die for you. I don't want you to pay for this. You can't afford it. But I'll do it for you. That's a good God. How many know that's a good parent? Yeah. That whatever you do, they always forgive you. You know, when we had kids, that's how I became a Christian. Because Carl was born, and I'll end with this. Carl was born, and she looked like Edward G. Robinson, you know. like this, because she had scratched herself and all that kind of stuff. And I looked at her, and I wasn't interested in that, but I just noticed that. Today she's beautiful. But at that time, I said, God, why'd you give me a daughter? You should give me a son, because I can roughhouse him. I can get away with my phoniness longer. But a girl, she'll love me because I'm a phony and a fake and a liar. And then she'll, you know, turn on me because she'll realize I'm not. And she'll look at Mom's face and she'll, you know, he's not what he cracks up to be. Because Mom doesn't have to say words. She can just look like, eh, she's nothing. And I realize that. Plague, what could I do that you'd be happy for the rest of your life? Nothing. I love that. Well, because I take you out and you want to go out the next night. You know, I mean, what could I do that would please you always? Nothing. Oh, so that's funny. Isn't that funny? That women are never satisfied with, you know, the jerky husband that they have. Yeah. Good thing you got saved. So that makes a difference, right? And so anyway, I said, okay. So I went to the Botanic Gardens in Fort Worth. Snow was on the ground, November 17. And no one was there in the whole place because there was snow on the ground. Maybe this, you know, 4 or 5 inches of snow. And so I went to the Rose Garden, which is the nicest part. And I don't know. I didn't even plan it. I just did it. I wanted to be alone, you know, and say, why did you give me a daughter? Why didn't you give me a guy? I could fake him and goof off and so on. But women, they just love you, and then they're going to be disappointed when they find out what you really are like. And so I need a woman that just likes me as I am. And I don't, Peggy, she sees all my sins and talks about them. And she just brings them out. That's, you're speeding. You're doing too much. This is just everything. Peg, just lay, God forgives me. Well, I'm not God, and I'm not going to forgive you. So, I love that kind of, isn't that a beautiful wife?
Yes.
It's exactly what I needed. And so anyway, but then I said, okay, you have 1.5, okay, 2. You have 2 years to get me before she figures out what I'm really like. Because it's hard when you're living in a family not to be a jerk. It's hard. So I can't keep it up all the time. Maybe a few seconds, but I just can't keep it all the way up. But as a little kid, she'll love me so much, and she'll just be delighted in me. And we'll decorate the house. I had all kinds of tricks. And we'll decorate it with aquariums and microscopes and all that. I had everything in there so that she could learn all the stuff I wanted to learn. Of course, you know, not every kid wants to learn everything, but she was. She was straight A. She got all the ribbons in the whole school. Got a ribbon for knowing her scripture. Got a ribbon for being well-behaved. Got a ribbon for everything, every science. Whatever she took, she got A's. And so the school came to us after a while and said, this is not right, what you're doing. You're taking all the ribbons. Well, she just wants to be excellent. Yeah, I know, but we want competition that everyone else should have something. So could you allow us to do that? Well, I guess so. You know, how many does she get now? Because she likes them and are all over her room. And so then they learned competition. So they're capitalists. They're competition. That's the way to do it. And so then when it came time, I got saved within the 2 years. I went to Phoenix, Arizona. I got saved from the sisters. And I was happy. Totally happy. Ever since then, I've been happy. I knew this is to the death for me. You need to die every day. In Latin, whenever a monk would meet a monk, they would say these words, memento mori. Anyone here know Latin? Memento mori. What is it?
Something dead.
Yes, yeah. Remember to die.
Remember to die.
Memento mori. Mori is death. So always remember to die. In other words, you're supposed to die. But they meant physical. In other words, live your life to the fullest because you're about to die. You never know. But it means psychological. What God wants is you to die to yourself so that you're no longer a self that always is analyzing other people. Always analyzing everyone else and seeing their flaws and never seeing your own. Wow. Isn't that amazing? And so that was easy for me because I just sinned all over the place and I never was nice and kind and anything. I never was cold as I didn't love my mother, my father, my cousins, my anybody. I didn't love anybody. And to be like that, that's a sociopath. A big word. It just means you don't have any normal, you know, emotions. As I don't give a rip for anybody except myself. How many know that's bad? That's bad. But I didn't care because I didn't care about people. Nobody ever helped me. Nobody ever did anything for me. I'm not doing anything for anybody else. That's fun. And so that's an awful person to be with because I was always conniving, planning, seeing how to steal from you, lie to you, cheat you, con you, whatever. I was good. I worked at it. I have a passion. Be bad. But I didn't do the things that you think I did. I didn't do those things. I didn't do those for just rational reasons. I'm not going to do that. I'd be in jail or I'd have to pay a fine or they'd kick me out of school or whatever. I'm not going to do that. I'll hide my trail after I have done what I wanted to do and no one will ever follow me. They can't do it because I thought about it night and day. Now, if I do that, then what will happen? Oh, you see, do this. And so I lied all over the place. I was a consummate liar, just like the devil. And I wanted to be, you know, I didn't even think about the devil. I didn't think God was real, and I didn't think the devil was real. I thought, all you are is what you make yourself, and you have to make yourself. And I saw this little sign that said, be yourself. How can you be anything else than yourself? You're yourself. I guess I'm bad. I'm a bad seed. You ever see that movie, The Bad Seed? That was me. The bad seed. Bad. You're like that too. A little bit. A little bit. And everybody is. Everybody. But anyway, but when I became a Christian, boom, all of a sudden I knew I got to serve God the rest of my life. I'm never, ever, ever going to be Jim and again. I'll be Jesus and Jim. Jim and Jesus, and I'll show Jesus from now on. How many know that when you are a convert like that, you go all the way? And so I had no limits. I'm going to go all the way with Jesus. Whatever it says in the book, I'm going to do it. I don't have to think about it. I don't have to feel it. I don't have to want it because I never have. I'll just do it. And then I did it by faith, but then one day I did it by an experience. Boom! There's a God. I'm going to follow him the rest of my life. With all my talents, with all my time, with all my energy and so on. Rubbish on that. I'll just follow Jesus and die. I have no reason to live anyway. I'll just die. Not a problem. But until now and then, I'll just do it by faith. And one day, I had that experience and I said, no, from now on, I'll get rid of everything I have. I don't want anything. I want nothing from anybody. I want everything from God. And if he does, he does. But I don't control him. So I never know what he's going to do, when he's going to do it, and how he's going to do it. So I'll have a surprise life. Everything will surprise me every day. So I grew up then as a pagan, and then I went through this freedom right here. And I realized from now on, no one can put me down or lift me up. Only God. And he seems to like me. So I'm going to stick with God forever and ever. All right, what'd you learn today?
God is good.
God is good?
Yeah.
Yeah, he is good. And everything he's done, he did everything for you. He did nothing for Jesus. He did nothing for himself. He did everything for you. You are the apple of his eye. You're the beneficiary of the living God. What else did you learn today? Yes, Lynn?
Well, I never saw that atonement was at one.
Atonement at one. It actually is at one. Everything that God has ever done is to make you and he at one. But he has to start it. So if he starts it, it'll be perfect. If you start it, it will be imperfect. And it's he doesn't want that. So that's why you're not under the law, you're under grace now. It's just a free gift. And because he'll give you everything. In fact, he doesn't even give you stuff. He gives you himself. Even if he gives you stuff, he's actually giving you himself, that you need that stuff right now, but he knows you don't need the stuff. You need him. Because with Christ Jesus, he freely gives you all things. And I have that thought in my mind every day. He's blessing me, whether I see it or not. I don't have to see it to believe it. I have to believe it to see it. Next verse, Karen.
This week has been me with the phrase constantly, I will trust the Lord with all my heart.
Yes.
In all his ways, I'll acknowledge him.
Yes. Powerful.
And he shall guide my path.
Totally.
I missed it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Because you trust in him. Because you trust in him. Yeah. See, that's if you just had that one verse alone, it's enough to carry you through life.
Yes.
But I want you to read the whole Bible for because there's more. But that sums it all up, as do many other verses. Who else? Just make it up.
Jesus loves you.
Read your Bible every day. Yeah. Even just one sentence, one phrase, anything. Just always go to God. That's seeking his face every day. Same thing. Who else? Yes?
Something that the God was showing me, which it sounds like everybody should know this. Evidently I didn't, but we're basically stewards of everything that we have.
Right.
It doesn't matter if it's money or if it's your health or if it's
right.
your body or if it's your words or your art or whatever. All right. of these things that come out of you, all of those are just gifts from God.
Right.
Not just to bless you, obviously, to bless you, but to bless those around you.
Right.
Because God said, love me with all your heart, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. It didn't say accumulate for yourself.
Right.
Everything you have
right.
is
yeah.
given to everybody else.
Wow. Profound. What you just said is profound. That really God doesn't need anything from you. Okay. But give it to your neighbor. And so he's directing you to give the latter part, the second part, horizontal to your neighbor. The first one is worship God, serve your neighbor. Worship God, serve your neighbor. And that's powerful. That's a powerful thing. Who else? Who else? Anyone else? You could make up anything.
Just Jesus loves you.
Yes. He can't change his mind. Once he starts, he can't say, what you did yesterday, I'm not going to bless you anymore. He can't. Once he starts blessing you, it'll never end. Never. Jesus. Praise God. Yeah. Hallelujah. It's good. We love you all. God bless.